Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me in a few minutes is Steve Kolesheski. We're so excited about today's program because we're going to be talking about Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's speech at AIPAC. Yes, it's always wonderful to hear the Prime Minister speak as he just defends Israel and really lays out what's happening in the Middle East with clarity. AIPAC just had their event in Washington, D.C. It's an annual event, and we're thankful for them and all the organizations really around the country and the world that stand behind and stand with and for the nation of Israel. AIPAC stands for the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. Now, before we get to the Prime Minister's speech, I wanted you to know and to see what AIPAC actually does and what they're about. Watch this.
This is Israel. The Jewish state is in a dangerous neighborhood and under constant threat from rockets, terrorists, and those seeking its destruction. Israel relies on its ally America in order to confront all challenges it faces. And the best way to guarantee that the United States continues to stand by Israel is through bipartisan support in Congress. That is where AIPAC comes in. AIPAC is focused exclusively on strengthening the U.S.-Israel relationship. Because Israel's security is too important to risk only working with one party or the other, we work with both parties to ensure Democrats and Republicans come together to keep Israel safe. AIPAC members nationwide, which include Americans of all ages, faiths, and races, build personal ties with senators and representatives to ensure that we are effective in strengthening America and Israel. We influence American policy not by rating or endorsing candidates, but by educating them. This ensures that no matter which party is in power, there is consensus that Israel's security is an American priority that both Democrats and Republicans support. You can make a difference. Talk to an AIPAC staff member or visit our website to learn more about how you can help keep Israel safe, strong, and secure.
Wow. We're also going to be talking about what Palestinians are actually teaching their children. You know, many of you have watched on your television screens, and especially if you've watched this program, VFN TV, you have seen where children are stabbing Israelis in Israel. Well, there's a reason behind the madness. It's because of what they're being taught. We're going to actually show you what's happening and taking place. But before we do, I want you to listen and see Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu as he addresses the attendees at this year's AIPAC event. Watch this.
Mr. Prime Minister, can you hear me?
I can hear you. I hope you can hear me.
Yes. Excellent. Excellent. I'm glad you can hear me, but I want to make sure that you can hear us, the delegates attending AIPAC's largest policy conference ever. As you might have heard, the theme of our conference is Come Together. And it's not just a tagline. The people in this room come from many different backgrounds and many walks of life. But there's one thing we all share, a profound love and unwavering commitment to the one and only Jewish state of Israel. Together, we are determined to ensure Israel has the means to defend herself by herself. We are determined to ensure that Iran is held accountable for its dangerous behavior. We are determined to stand with the people of Israel in their enduring quest for peace. And we will not rest in our efforts to strengthen the unbreakable bond between the United States and Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the Prime Minister of the State of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu.
Good morning, America. Good morning, APAC. And a special good morning to the 4,000 students who are cutting class today to be with APAC in Washington. Greetings to all of you from Jerusalem. I want to first send my condolences to the families of those murdered in today's terrorist attacks in Brussels. The chain of attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, to Istanbul, to the Ivory Coast, and now to Brussels, and the daily attacks in Israel. This is one continuous assault on all of us. In all these cases, the terrorists have no resolvable grievances. It's not as if we could offer them Brussels or Istanbul or California or even the West Bank. That won't satisfy their grievances, because what they seek is our utter destruction and their total domination. Their basic demand is that we should simply disappear. Well, my friends, that's not going to happen. The only way to defeat these terrorists is to join together and fight them together. That's how we'll defeat terrorism, with political unity and with moral clarity. I think we have that in abundance. And I want to thank today the leadership of APAC and each and every one of you. I thank you for the tremendous support you've provided Israel over so many years. I thank you for the clear and unequivocal stand you took last year during the nuclear Iran deal debate, a debate critical for Israel's security. And that debate, though intense, did not undermine the unbreakable alliance between Israel and the United States. As part of that great alliance, America has generously provided Israel with many of the tools we need to defend ourselves. We're now working on a new agreement to help bolster Israel's security in the years to come. I hope we can conclude that agreement soon. And I take this opportunity once again to thank President Obama for his support, including for ballistic missile defense. Israel deeply appreciates it, and we also deeply appreciate the strong bipartisan support for Israel in Congress and the strong, overwhelming support for Israel among the American people. Year after year, the overwhelming majority of Americans stand with Israel. They know something profound that stands out for all to see today. They know that Israel is an island of liberty and democracy and stability in the sea of despotism and violence and instability that surrounds us. And that is why I believe that Israel must never be an issue that divides Americans, but a great cause of liberty that unites Americans. My friends, 2 weeks ago, I visited Yodfat in northern Israel. It was there 2,000 years ago that the Romans began their military campaign against the Jews. I'm holding in my hand right now an exact replica of an arrow found at Yodfat, one of thousands used by the Romans in their war to crush Jewish independence. Yet 2 millennia later, the Jewish people are once again free and sovereign in our ancient homeland. And in rebuilding our land, our state, our economy, our army, our science, our culture, we've achieved remarkable successes. But it's true we also face great challenges. We are, in fact, today witnessing two contradictory trends. First, the positive trend. Every day, high-level delegations land at Ben-Gurion Airport. They come from America, they come from Europe. Increasingly, they come from Asia, from Africa, from Latin America. As many of them confront the rise of militant Islam and its accompanying terrorism, they come to Israel to strengthen their security. They wish to learn from Israel's proven security and intelligence capabilities how to better protect their own people. But they also come to Israel because they want to upgrade their economies with Israel's technology. And for good reason. Israel's know-how is powering the world's computers, navigating its cars, protecting its bank accounts. It's led to breakthroughs in treating multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's. It helps farmers around the world yield more crops, produce more work, more milk, conserve more water. So for all these reasons, the world is coming to Israel. Today we have diplomatic relations with 161 countries, more than at any time in our history. And by the way, there are not that many countries left. There are only about 200 countries in the world. But alongside this positive trend, there is a second negative trend. While Israel is embraced by a growing number of individual nations, there are those who seek to malign Israel among the nations, and especially in the United Nations. At the UN, Israel, the Middle East's only true democracy, is slandered like no other country on earth. At the UN, Israel is subjected to consistent, systematic discrimination. Only Israel is permanently scheduled for condemnation at the UN Human Rights Council. Not Iran, not Syria, not North Korea. Only Israel is hounded by UN bodies expressly established to delegitimize its very existence. Only Israel is condemned every year by 20 hostile resolutions in the UN General Assembly. The UN, my friends, has a shameful record of singling out Israel for castigation and condemnation. So I have a question for you. Why would anyone think that the UN could decide on a fair and secure peace for Israel? Yet amazingly, there are some who believe exactly that. They seek to impose terms on Israel in the UN Security Council. And those terms would undoubtedly be stacked against us. They always are. So such an effort in the UN would only convince the Palestinians that they can stab their way to a state. Mind you, not a state next to Israel, but a state instead of Israel. A Security Council resolution to pressure Israel would further harden Palestinian positions and thereby could actually kill the chances of peace for many, many years. And that is why I hope the United States will maintain its long-standing position to reject such a UN resolution.
We're going to go straight back to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's speech. He's addressing the delegates, the congregants, the people that are all gathered at this year's APACS event. You don't want to miss it. Join us right now.
To reject such a UN resolution. I was glad to hear the presidential candidates from both parties reaffirm this basic principle. Peace won't come through UN Security Council resolutions, but through direct negotiations between the parties. The best formula for achieving peace remains two states for two peoples, in which a demilitarized Palestinian state finally recognizes the Jewish state. Now, I know there's some skepticism about my views on this. So let me state unequivocally, and here's the acid test. I'm ready to begin such negotiations immediately, without preconditions, anytime, anywhere. That's a fact. But President Abbas is not ready to do so. That's also a fact. There is political will here in Jerusalem. There's no political will there in Ramallah. For the last 5.5 years, President Abbas has refused to sit down and talk with me even for a minute. But that doesn't mean he's been silent. He's helped inculcate a new generation of young Palestinians with murderous hatred for Israel. And my friends, this incitement has deadly consequences. Palestinian children are taught to stab Jews. They're taught that the goal of the Palestinian people is not to establish a state on the West Bank, but in all of Israel. In Akko, Haifa, Nazareth, Jaffa. Now, what I'm about to show you is deeply disturbing. I think you have to see for yourselves what the Palestinians are teaching their children. I want you to see the daily pledge of allegiance of Palestinian children. Take a look.
I am the Palestinian child. My toys are the rock and the rifle.
My friend, do you know what the 48 lands are?
Haifa, Jaffa, Acre.
Correct, and Nazareth, and many more cities in these lands. The 48 lands are all ours and will return to us, right?
The official Palestinian Authority schools, the media, and mosques preach to kill Israelis just because they're Jews. And children emulate the murderous videos online.
Take along a rock and knife.
This incitement comes directly from the Palestinian leadership.
We welcome every drop of blood spilled in Jerusalem.
The result of this incitement is hundreds of terror attacks in the past few months. Dozens of Israelis were murdered in those terror attacks. About half of the terrorists are under the age of 18. This incitement fuels terror and prevents peace.
This is sick. It's inexcusable. My friends, that little girl wasn't born hating. She was taught to hate. As were the Palestinians who murdered the American student Taylor Force and other American citizens in recent months. You've already heard what an impressive young man Taylor was. But President Abbas's Fatah movement praised Taylor's killer as, and I quote this, as a hero and a martyr. Now, that's not coming from Hamas. That's coming from Abbas. And now the Palestinians will spur even more terrorism by rewarding the families of murderers, including those who murdered Americans, with a regular monthly payment. So the message they send to Palestinians is clear. Terrorism pays, literally. If the international community really wants to advance peace, it must demand that the Palestinians stop poisoning the minds of their children. If the international community wants to advance peace, it must address the true core of the conflict, the persistent Palestinian refusal to accept a Jewish state in any borders. So there's bad news, but there's also some good news. While the Palestinians are stuck in their refusal to make peace, others are moving forward. First, Israel's peace agreements with Egypt and Jordan have weathered many storms. Second, increasingly, our other neighbors recognize that we have common interests. They understand that we face the same threats from Iran and from ISIS. Now, I can tell you from a perspective of my lifetime, this is a historic change. I believe it offers a unique opportunity to advance peace. And we are working every day to seize that opportunity. Ladies and gentlemen, I am confident that over time, the trend of embracing Israel will overcome the trend of maligning Israel. Because ultimately, freedom beats tyranny. And ultimately, when vigorously defended, truth beats lies. So I believe that Israel faces a future of promise. I believe that when we stand together, all of us, we can overcome all the challenges facing us. And of these challenges, none is greater than Iran's unrelenting aggressions. Iran remains fully committed to genocide, our genocide. Its leaders loudly, openly, even proudly, they say and proclaim that their goal is to destroy Israel. Iran sends deadly weapons to Hezbollah in Lebanon against us. It bankrolls Hamas and Islamic Jihad in Gaza against us. It seeks to open a new terror front on the Golan against us. And it offers thousands of dollars for each Palestinian terror attack against us. So here's what I believe. I believe that both those who supported the nuclear deal and those who opposed it can at the very least work together to stop Iran's aggression and terror and hold Iran accountable for its transgressions. Since the nuclear deal, Iran has continued to conduct ballistic missile tests in defiance of its international obligations. As you've heard, Iran recently fired a ballistic missile with a Hebrew inscription painted on it. It said, "Israel must be wiped out." So, ladies and gentlemen, the writing is not on the wall. It's on the missile. Now, my friends, an arrow just like this was shot by a Roman soldier at Yotfat. He was fighting to end Jewish independence once and for all. But Imperial Rome is long gone. And I am speaking to you today from our capital, Jerusalem, as the Prime Minister of the reborn Jewish state. We have restored our independence. We have restored our capacity to defend ourselves. Iran should learn this history, and it should have no illusions. Israel will defend itself mightily against all those who seek to destroy us. And Iran should remember that today, it's not only the enemies of the Jewish people who have arrows. Today, the Jewish state can defend itself with powerful arrows of our own. Take a look. The Arrow missile defense system is the product of Americans and Israelis working together. So I want to say again to all of you, thank you, America. Thank you, AIPAC. Thank you for helping secure our common future, and a happy Purim to all of you. Thank you.
Wow, wasn't that amazing?
That is powerful.
Amazing. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, it's just so refreshing to have courageous, clear leadership. And you're never, ever wondering where exactly does he lie on any kind of particular issue. I like to say that he speaks English as well as Hebrew. Mm-hmm. You know, it is what it is, and he's plainly communicates it. But, Steve, I thought it was interesting. He laid out two, I think, important things that are happening in Israel, as are always happening. One is that, you know, there's so much technology and so many ways that Israel is blessing the nations of the world. And like you said, that there are constant delegations flying into Ben-Gurion Airport, and they're coming for specific reasons.
Yeah, and they're blessing technology. They're blessing, you know, agriculture, water, consumption. And what is so beautiful is that you're hearing so much confusion and so many contradictions all over the world, but there is such a bold, just clarion call of peace and just clarity to understand what is truly happening in that region. And it's encouraging because you see an accurate perspective about Israel. I love this.
Israel's blessing the nations of the world, like you said, technology, medicine,
agricultural,
business, all sorts, like I said, technology, IT, which is phenomenal because they're dispensing all of it to the world. They're saying, here, take it, it's yours. But at the same time, they're also facing, you know, the same threats over and over again from different countries. Iran in particular has the loudest voice saying they want to annihilate Israel. But also the sanctions that are continually coming out of the United Nations. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu did such an amazing job because, you know, these issues oftentimes are complex, but he has a way of just making them plain. And that's really what you need because there's so many lies. Mm-hmm. And we've been talking a lot on this program about the BDS movement, boycott, divestment, and sanctions that are being launched against Israel because the narrative is that Israel won't make a Palestinian agreement. They won't make an agreement with the Palestinians for a two-state solution, which can't be further from the truth, which we'll talk more about that here in a few minutes. But what I really want to highlight is the fact that the United Nations repeatedly, over and over and over again, Steve, are hitting Israel with all of these sanctions. The Human Rights Council of all, you know, people.
More than any other nation.
More than any other nation.
That's right.
Not North Korea, not China.
Not Iran.
Not Iran, but Israel. And if you lose sight of this, remember that it was our president when he was in Israel and he spoke at the university to the students. He was telling them, hey, you need to take this to the United Nations. Well, if you take this any agreement to the United Nations that involves Israel, you're literally saying, take Israel and throw it over into the sea. Because the United Nations is not capable of brokering anything fair in regards to Israel just by their actions alone. And so we want you to see this as this really breaks this down with fine detail of what's actually been transpiring over several years. Watch this.
No matter how you feel about the United Nations, it's the one place on planet Earth where nations get together and attempt to speak with one voice. That's why their resolutions can make a big difference. So when people all around the world see that approximately 40% of the UN Human Rights Council resolutions were against just one country, most of us would assume that country must be a really bad place. Perhaps ruled by, oh, say, a genocidal dictator who kills his own people, or maybe a tyrant continually threatening to annihilate another country. But actually, the country that has been condemned more times than every repressive country on Earth, combined, is a democracy. the only viable democracy in the Middle East, Israel. And with these repeated resolutions against Israel, it's easy to see why so many in the international community perceive Israel as a major cause of world problems. But are all these resolutions really justified? Because whether or not you agree with how Israel is handling its many challenges, when you do a basic comparison, like the number of deaths Israel is responsible for with the number of condemnations they've received, and then make that same comparison with other countries, it paints a surprising picture of a possible double standard. What could explain the enormous imbalance? Quick history lesson. In 1975, Cuba needed to gather support in order to take down the biggest democratic superpower dominating the global schoolyard, the United States. Seeing how the UN was mostly controlled by the democratic superpowers, Cuba, along with other communist nations, finally found a way to even the playing field, because it just so happened that, at the same time, a number of Muslim countries were looking for new, creative ways to gang up on Israel. So the communists realized that by joining the Muslims' anti-Israel coalition, they could create an unstoppable voting bloc inside the UN. Because with every resolution they passed against Israel, they simultaneously discredited Israel's ally, the United States. So in 1975, the newfound communist-Muslim voting bloc spearheaded the passing of a UN resolution that officially stated, "Zionism is a form of racism." Yes, Zionism. The movement trying to find ways to protect Jews from racism was redefined as racism, which is kind of like saying the civil rights movement is racism and Martin Luther King is a racist. This is why resolution after resolution after resolution against Israel from 1975 until this day easily passes through the UN. But today, this movement has a new tool for attacking Israel as the cause of all our problems. The UN's Durban Review Conference on Racism. Durban is charged with finding the real root of racism.
So it's clear. It's clear. Resolution after resolution after resolution against Israel. And here's the thing. Those who are calling for peace in the Middle East, those who are calling, those in the international community are calling for Israel and the first two-state solution, basically, need to understand exactly what is happening and not fall to this false narrative and really call the Palestinians on the carpet. When the prime minister plainly says that I will speak with President Abbas at any time about this Tuesday solution, and the president refuses to do so, but at the same time continues to fuel incitement and hatred towards the Israelis, come on, really? I mean, one of the basic tenets of any agreement would be that the Palestinian people would recognize Israel as a Jewish state, and they won't even do that. So how could Israel, I mean, it's amazing the patience they have. I mean, it really is the patience that they have to continue to state the facts over and over again and repeatedly. But I think it's time that the international community really wakes up, because this is only a matter of time before this continues to fester. And really, we're drawn in a global war. I mean, we are already, I believe, in the middle of World War III, and it's only going to escalate until we actually come in and say, hey, listen, you know, enough is enough. But I want you to see, you saw this in Prime Minister's speech, but I want you to see again the foundation that's being laid by the Palestinian Authority. It's not about, hey, let's broker peace. It's not let's get along with our neighbors. It's not maybe we can be nice to the Jewish people and we can work together. Maybe we'll have a land for our own. No, they're teaching their children that Israel, the land of Israel, is their land. They're teaching the children that Israel is their enemies. They're teaching their children that the way to deal with Israelis is not communication. It's not, you know, open dialogue. But the form of communication that they're teaching is rocks and knives. And guess what? The young people are carrying it out. They said over 50% of terrorist attacks, or these intifada attacks, are being conducted by Palestinians age 18 and younger. 50%. I want you to see plainly what they're doing. Watch this.
I am the Palestinian child. My toys are the rock and the rifle.
My friend, do you know what the 48 lands are?
Haifa, Jaffa, Acre.
Correct. And Nazareth, and many more cities in these lands. The 48 lands are all ours and will return to us, right?
The official Palestinian Authority schools, the media, and mosques preach to kill Israelis just because they're Jews. And children emulate the murderous videos online.
take along a rock and knife.
This incitement comes directly from the Palestinian leadership.
We welcome every drop of blood spilled in Jerusalem.
The result of this incitement is hundreds of terror attacks in the past few months. Dozens of Israelis were murdered in those terror attacks. About half of the terrorists are under the age of 18. This incitement fuels terror and prevents peace.
Wow. Think about it. Intifada, an uprising. They're taking down Jewish people with their cars. They're taking them down with knives and with rifles. But if that wasn't bad enough, you have Iran, who is committed openly, defiantly saying that they want to destroy Israel. And I'm thankful that the United States is working together, Steve, mm-hmm. with Israel on this new agreement and for the new Arrow rocket missile defense system. They come. I want you to see the awesomeness of this rocket and what it does. I mean, it literally tracks down the missile that's being fired.
Right. And then destroys it in air so it doesn't impact Israel.
Destroys it. Watch this.
Israel conducted its first nighttime trial of the Chets, or Arrow missile defense system, Sunday night. It was a resounding success. The Arrow was launched from the Palmachim military base on the Mediterranean coast, south of Tel Aviv, and intercepted a target missile fired at a high altitude from an F-15 fighter jet. The target missile was designed to simulate an Iranian Shihab-3 surface-to-surface ballistic missile, which has a range of over 1,200 kilometers, enough to hit any target in Israel. The Chets' advanced radar system locked onto the incoming enemy missile and guided the intercepting missile to close proximity, where it then detonated, destroying the target in mid-air. Member of Knesset Yuval Steinitz commented on the successful trial run.
It was a very successful test. I was there as a former chairman of the Defense and Foreign Affairs Committee. It was an exceedingly successful test against new kind of threats. And for the first time, I became confident that the Arrow system will be able to intercept any kind of Shihab or other Iranian missile coming from far away.
The Israeli security establishment has high hopes that the Chet system will be able to provide an adequate response to the recurring threats of an Iranian missile attack on Israel.
Wow. Amazing. I'm glad that Israel has everything that they need and then some. That's why it's so important that we continue as partners with them to fund them and give them mm-hmm. All the resources and the funds Amen. To defend themselves.
Now, even as we're saying this, reminds me of Genesis 12. It says, I will bless you. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And it makes me think about that Roman arrow that he lifted up, that just because that there's a nation that is seeking to destroy Israel, God is still going to protect Israel.
Wow. Well, the Word of God says that indeed he who watches over Israel neither slumbers or sleeps. We want to pray with you, and we encourage you, please pray for us. Steve, would you lead us in yes. prayer for Israel?
Father God, we just thank you, Lord, just for the bold truth and how you have established the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu over Israel. Lord, we ask you, Father, that you would just give wisdom and clarity to all of those that are standing in allegiance with Israel. Lord, I come against every single rocket that is fired against Israel. I come against every single person that seeks to do evil or just harm to any Israeli citizen. And we just thank you, Lord, that your eyes never sleep nor slumber, and you overwatch all of Israel and all of the Jewish land. Father, bless Israel and bless those who are blessing Israel. And we ask you, Lord, that you would end abortion, send revival, and send a third great awakening, Lord.
God bless you. Thank you so much for watching VFN. Have a great night.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.